Hello and welcome to Cromford's Assortment on Thursday the 6th of August 2020. On this day, the 6th of August, in 1809, the poet Alfred Lord Tennyson was born. He was the charge of the Light Brigade bloke, the Lady of Shalott bloke, and the bloke who said, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." What did he know? Incidentally, I'm doing something in this week's assortment that old Tenny Babes would have taken a very dim view of. I'm mocking some of his subject matter. On this day in 1881, Alexander Fleming, a man who helped to discover the true potential of penicillin in 1928, was born. He had to share his Nobel Prize with two other chaps. What a nightmare if they took turns to plonk it on their mantelpieces. It looks like a big gold sovereign. These are absent-minded boffins we're talking about. How could you trust your fellow winners not to accidentally pay their window cleaner with it? On this day in 1917, the actor Robert Mitchum was born. The epitome of cool as a screen tough guy, he was also a singer, composer, poet, and a legendarily difficult interviewee on chat shows. All those one-word answers. Yup. Nope. Great stuff. On this day in 1926, Gertrude Ederle, a gold medalist at the 1924 Olympics, was the first woman to swim the English Channel. Another one who just missed the ferry. On this day in 1930, Judge Joseph Crater of the New York State Supreme Court got into a taxi on New York's West 45th Street and was driven away into the night. 9 years later, he was legally declared to be deceased, and in 1970, the unsolved case of his disappearance was officially closed. So, the fate of the Crater's debatable, mate. On this day in 1961, Soviet cosmonaut German Titov became the second human being to orbit the Earth in Vostok 2. He also became the first human to develop space sickness. His inner ear got confused by weightlessness, and as you can imagine, a cabin full of drifting puke would have been distracting, to say the least. On this day in 1962, Jamaica gained its independence from the UK, which must have been nice. 26 years later, they sent a bobsleigh team to the Calgary Winter Olympics, which was rather nice too. On this day in 1970, filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan was born. I didn't see the twist coming in The Sixth Sense, did you? My other favourites of his are Signs, The Happening, and After Earth. Wonderful stuff. And finally, on this day in 2012, NASA's exploration vehicle Curiosity landed on Mars after a 10-month voyage. They never asked me if I wanted to hitch a lift there. I'd got my toilet bag packed and everything. I'm in a ditty, get me out of here. And here's last Saturday's Cromford, all fresh-faced and bounding with youthful vitality, bless him, to waffle about this week's ditty. I suppose everybody that writes songs occasionally thinks about trying to write a song all on one note. It must be the ultimate challenge for a songwriter. The thing is, of course, if you're going to write a song all on one note, it's got limited potential for whistling interest. I mean, can you imagine it? You'd kill the person doing it after 2 minutes, wouldn't you? So, you know, if you're going to write a song on one note of melody, then the chords have to do something interesting, surely. Pop music history is littered with experiments in writing a song on as close to one note as possible, or just chunks of the song in one note. John Lennon tried many times to achieve it. I don't know how consciously he was doing that, but certainly things like Help, the verse of Help, you know.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
He had to lurch into another note there.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
And another one. See, he just could not leave the other notes alone. He had too commercial a sense. In fact, off the top of my head, I'm only aware of one pop song that uses just one note of melody throughout, and it's Numb by U2 on their Zooropa album.
Don't move, don't talk, out of time, don't think, don't worry, everything's just fine. Just fine. Don't grab, don't clutch, don't hope for too much, don't breathe, don't achieve or grieve without leave.
And yeah, it's every bit as tedious as that. That's all very well, Mr. C, you might be saying. But what's it got to do with this week's ditty? Ah, well, I will explain. The root of this week's ditty is, funnily enough, a chord sequence that I was knocking together in late 1976, back in my purple patch, my sickly mauve patch of early songwriting. I was trying to write a song with a chord sequence in the choruses that went like this. Which was promising, but I ran out of steam. I had no idea what to write about at the time, so the sequence went onto the shelf in my subconscious, because, as you know, I never waste an idea. But I never thought consciously about it again for many years. Fast forward to 1999, and at some point, under circumstances that are far too long-winded to go into here, I found myself writing a song with a predetermined title. The title was Trouble Standing. And at this point, I dug out that chord sequence again for the chorus of Trouble Standing. I can only recall half of the chorus lyric for this one. And I made it a comment on sort of size zero mentality among women. The chorus lyric that I can remember went, cheekbones add panache, but it's hard to cut a dash when you're having trouble standing on your own.
Cheekbones add panache, but it's hard to cut a dash when you're having trouble standing on your own.
Anyway, I finished that song up, but it wasn't particularly good, and I shoved it away again quickly before too many people saw it. Fast forward again to 2007, and I was having another purple patch of songwriting, and I set myself this time the challenge of trying to write a song, or a big chunk of a song, on mostly one note. For the verses, I just couldn't resist putting some tune into it. But as far as the choruses went, for most of the time I managed to stay on the one note. Here is that note, which should be a B if this guitar is in concert pitch, which I very much doubt. But there, that's a B. That is the note. And it sits on the chord changes like this. There is the single note playing against those chords. I did cheat slightly on one of those. Did you notice? I went, because I just couldn't make it work any other way. As you'll hear later on, I also wrote a lyric that puns on how the note sits against all those chords. So for example, there it's the fifth, right? And there it's the major seventh. And there it's the ninth, etc. So the lyric went,
5 year plans for deadly sins.
Etc. Let's leave the song there for now. Don't Make Me Over was Dionne Warwick's big break as a singer in her own right, following years of being in the chorus line. Bacharach and David wrote the song in 1962 specifically for her. These days it doesn't sound as comically passé as Bacharach's other early hits, but to my ears it's still rather quaint. What do you think? Dusty Springfield is on record as saying that when she first heard that song, she burst into tears. Oh, come on, girl. You must have heard worse. Anyway, Don't Make Me Over will be back, suitably made over, in a little while. Your mind is a cine camera. Fade in from black. You establish a picture of St. Botolph's Roman Catholic Church. Caption: Saturday morning. Dissolve to the church interior. Zoom in on the confessional box. Take your time, my child. Confession is rarely easy. I'm listening.
Bless me, Father, for I will soon sin.
Sorry. I'm sorry, my child. Sorry to butt in, but... Did you say, I will soon sin?
Yes, Father.
Rather than the standard, I have sinned. No. I beg your pardon. It was wrong of me to interrupt you. You please carry on, my child.
Yes, I will soon sin. It's been about 16...
No, sorry. I do beg your pardon again. I'm sorry to barge in. It's just that most people come to confession to cleanse themselves of sins they've already committed, you see.
Yes, I know.
So the usual form is, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. In fact, I think it's pretty universal. I have sinned, rather than I will soon sin. I'm sorry, my son. You just sort of caught me off balance there. Anyway, please do go on. I am listening.
Right. It's been about 16... Yes, 16 centuries since my last confession. But that doesn't worry me, because I was still...
Sorry, my son, but you've just caught me on the hop again. Did you say 16 centuries?
Yes, it's about 16, I would say. Shall I go on?
Yes, by all means. Please forgive me, my son. Tell me the trouble of your heart.
Well, as I was saying, I'm not unduly worried about the sins I had committed, because I was probably still in a state of grace when I received my mortal wound at Cornwall. I mean, I was fighting a very just war. Wouldn't you say, Father?
Possibly. However, can there be such a thing as a just war in the eyes of God? Sorry, you say you were mortally wounded in Cornwall?
Oh, yes. I was at death's door.
Death's door?
Yes. It was a deep sword thrust in my chest, you see. I mean, I could hardly be expected to survive that on top of everything else, could I?
Oh, my poor child. Someone in Cornwall stabbed you with a sword? Oh, such wickedness.
Indeed. And so they whisked me off to Avalon, but frankly, I was already a goner.
You did just say Avalon, didn't you, my son?
Is there something wrong with your ears, Father?
I trust not, my son.
May I continue? I do need you to hear my confession.
I do apologise for my human frailty, my child. Speak without fear of any further interruption.
I have lost the thread now. Oh, yes. So I gave up the ghost in Avalon, but they've got some marvellous mystics and healers there, and they basically shoehorned the ghost back into me. And I've been sort of mooching around there ever since, you see, in a state of grace. But there's the prophecy, you see, that says I will return to defend England in the hour of her deadliest danger. And so, here I am. your once and future king.
Hmm. I see. So you are... So you are, in fact, Arthur.
Arthur is my name, yes.
Arthur, you're giving me a lot to think about here. And it's clear that you've suffered great anguish, my son.
Oh, indeed. But I feel much better now that I'm back. Avalon's all very nice, but it doesn't have Netflix or Indian takeaways, for example.
No, quite. Are you able to tell me what England's deadly danger is?
No, not yet. But I'm sure it'll become apparent when I've gathered my people together. And that's where you come in, Father. I need your absolution.
Oh, I see. Because you will soon sin.
Yes. To defend England in her hour of deadliest danger, I'll probably have to kick any amount of righteous arse. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Granted.
And slay a multitude of dastardly knaves.
My child, you place me in a very awkward position. Morally, I can't condone slaughter that you haven't done yet.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
But more to the point, you're the second person this month who's come to me claiming something similar.
Really?
Said he wanted the church's sanction for the sorcery he's relearning. He called himself Mr. Merlin.
Oh, crumbs! Merlin! Father, I wonder, did he leave you a phone number?
To be continued in a later assortment. For Retouch the Sun, I didn't take many liberties with Don't Make Me Over. Old Bert had forestalled me with his own daring chord changes, so I basically smoothed out the histrionics in the choruses, added vocal harmonies, and stroked a few guitars, like this.
Don't make me over, now that I do anything for you. Don't make me over, now that you know how I adore you. Don't click on the things I say, things I do, just love me with all my faults, the way that I love you. I'm begging you, don't make me over, now that I can't make it without you. Just take me inside your arms and hold me tight and always be by my side. If I am wrong or right, I'm begging you, don't make me over, don't make me over, now that you've got me at your command. Accept me for what I am. Accept me for the things that I do. Accept me for what I am. Accept me for the things that I do. It without you. I wouldn't change one thing about you. Just take me inside your arms
hold me tight and always be by my side. If I am wrong or right, I'm begging you, don't make me over. Don't make me over. Now that you've got me at your command. Accept me for what I am. Accept me for the things that I do. Accept me for what I am. Accept me for the things that I do.
Now let's dig the dig. This week's relic comes from the Will Bradley Trio, who were actually three members of the Will Bradley Orchestra, and Mr. Bradley wasn't even one of them. Chuck Berry covered this song and partially rewrote it in 1960. Then the Rolling Stones covered his version on their second album. But here, from 1940, is the original version of Down the Road a Piece.
Boy, where's you going? I seen you going down the street the other night.
Oh, I wasn't going nowhere. I've been where I was going.
That's all right. I didn't see you. You just plumb out of sight.
Man, I sure like to latch on to some of that boogie-woogie tonight.
You mean some of that fat boogie-woogie?
That's what I need.
That's what I need, too. Hey, if you want to hear some boogie, then I know the place. It's just a no piano and a knocked-out bass. The drummer man's a guy they call 8-Bit Mac. You remember Doc and old Beat Me Daddy Slack. Man, it's better than chicken fried and bacon grease. Come along with me, boy. It's just down the road a piece.
Well, let you and I walk on down the road a piece.
I'm walking. Get going. I'm walking. I'm right behind. Look out there, boy. Don't knock into that cow.
Man, look out where you're stepping. That ain't second base.
Your kicks. It's open every night from about 12 to 6. If you want boogie woogie, then you get your fill. You put the 8 beats to you like an old steam drill. Come on with me, boy, before they lose their leads. It's just down the road, a piece.
I love that bit about the cow. Hey, that ain't second base. Cast your mind back to the one-note ditty I was talking about earlier in this programme. Here now, in glorious mono, is the song that it developed into. It's from my album Isaac and the Angelus, and it's called Now by Numbers. One such number is 89. That's the number of pence you need to spend if you want a stereo version of the song from my website, paulcromford.com. Incidentally, remember the tune I had going in the earlier song, Trouble Standing? Cheekbones at panache, but it's hard to cut a dash when you're having trouble standing on your own. Well, listen to what the fake orchestra strings are doing in this song. See if you can spot the family resemblance. Now by Numbers.
Six feet down a bruise. connected, holy three. There are 5-year plans for deadly sins, 9-day wonders with no chins, 6 guns go to earth in these 3. Cross the seas, 9 lives choked on hanging trees, 6 feet down, uprooted, holy three. There are 5-year plans for deadly sins, 9 days. With no chins, 6 guns go to earth in these 3 rings.
And that's your lot for this week. Guess what? The next edition will be out on Thursday, the 13th of August. In the meantime, keep it together, keep it real, keep it in the fridge if it's fizzy, and keep me in mind. Bye for now. Cromford's assortment was conceived, assembled, and presented by me, Paul Cromford. I don't own the songs of Bacharach and David, the song Down the Road a Piece, John Lennon's song Help, or the U2 thing Numb. I just borrowed them all to entertain you. All other music in the programme was created by me. This was a Paul Cromford production to pep up some of your weary minutes.